like to call the meeting to order of the Port Malabar Holiday Park Mobile Home Park Recreation District, June 24th, 2019. I'd like to call on Keith for the invocation and the pledge.
Heavenly Father, we come asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Guide us as we make decisions that will affect residents and staffs and their family. We pray for the health and the well-being of residents and employees of this community, their family and friends, whether here or at home or traveling. We ask that you watch over and guide this nation and bless, bring it the blessings and peace we desire. Guide our elected officials into using wisdom in their decision-making. Also protect our military and first responders. Bring them home safe and unharmed to their family and friends. Use your grace to heal the sick and the suffering. In his name we pray, amen. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll ask Joanne to take roll call.
Jack Emmerich.
Here.
Eloise Raffo.
Here.
Joanne Gagans. Here. Keith Witcher.
Here.
Paul Diamond. Absent. Gaston Pelletier.
Here.
Barbara Whitnick.
Here.
Joe Prisco. Absent. And the record will show that Lori Lyon and Kathleen Richardson are also present from the office. Cherie Morris, district manager, is still out on sick leave.
Okay, I'd like to add two things here in chairman's announcements. The board received four different opinions on this background and financial checks, credit checks, and we want to discuss that this evening. I'm not sure we're ready to take a motion on it, but we'll see how it goes and how we feel in terms of that particular item. And second one, we have a new trustee applicant to act upon. He is Michael Hamm, and we will do that first, as I prior to approval of the minutes. Michael, would you want to come up to this microphone? And share with the board and the audience a little bit about yourself.
I've been a resident for about... Hello. Don't step on my blue switches.
It's good.
You got to turn the mic towards you so you can...
Okay. My name is Mike Hamm. I've been a resident here for about 3.5 years. I live on Caber Court. In the past, I've been a real estate broker. That was probably for about 30 years. I have renovated many homes that I've purchased and resold. And I was a property manager of residential property. Probably about 150 units at a time. I like the park. I like to see good things happen to it. I think I've got some ideas to help improve certain things. And if you have any questions, please go ahead and I'll answer anything that you might have.
Any questions, trustees?
Are you on the ACC board?
I am not.
You're okay.
What's your biggest pet peeve about Holiday Park?
My second pet peeve is probably the sidewalks. We have a lot of people here with crutches, walkers, and the motorized wheelchairs, and some of the sidewalks at the end come onto grass. There's no crosswalks. That was probably one of my biggest pet peeves, and also the guard shack. I've got some ideas on that as well.
Any questions? Anybody else?
Jack, you know, the sidewalks.
Yes.
If you replace all the sidewalks, that's going to be a lot of money, over $200,000. Why, when they did the road, why didn't they do the road whole and then make that whole a white line right down so they got plenty of room?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would fall over the cracks. Nobody would do anything. It's a heck of a lot cheaper than the sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
Leave the good ones where they are up in the orange grove. But the ones, I don't know why they didn't do that.
I don't have an answer. That was long before my time.
Mine
here.
Too.
But that's something that
we
can be looked
about.
It, well, has nothing to do with his.
Yeah.
It has
okay.
Nothing to do with his appointment.
Oh, no. Oh, absolutely not. But it just popped into my head.
Could I make a nomination that we nominate Michael for the board?
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Second by Barb. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, like sign. Motion carried. Don't run away. Now comes the heavy duty part where you get sworn in.
Just stay right there at the microphone, sir. And you just have to repeat this.
Sure.
Okay. Be with it. You have to raise your right hand. So. Yeah, and we're legal. I do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
Protect.
And defend.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
The Constitution of the government of the United States.
And of the state of Florida. That I am duly qualified. To hold office. Under the Constitution of the state. And that I will well. And faithfully. Perform the duties of.
Trustee. Of the Board of Trustees.
Of Port Malabar.
Holiday Park.
Mobile Home Park.
Recreation District. Which I am now about to enter.
So help me God. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Have a seat.
Okay.
While we're getting set, one quick comment to Barb. Sheree is looking into getting grants for those sidewalks, too.
Yeah, $246,000.
Grant means they're going to give you the money.
Just to make mention that, Mr. Hamm, you'll be what they call District 6, okay? This year, at the end of this calendar year, those holding positions in Districts 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, their term ends at the end of the year, and those holding 2, 4, 6, and 8 will be until the end of 2020. 2020.
Waiting for a motion for the meeting minutes for approval from 6/10/2019.
I make a motion. We approve the minutes for the last meeting.
Second.
All right. Moved and seconded. Anybody have any additions, corrections, anything to bring to Joanne's attention? Any public comment on the minutes? If not, I call a motion. All in favor to approve the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, like sign. We have a two-page report from Cherie, and I think since it's posted, I will just highlight a few things instead of reading all of that, okay? There have been lots of follow-up to repairs and licensing and getting everything checked out. Dimmer switches, fire extinguishers, etc. I don't know how this particular item stands right now if Paul is not here because he was heading to the West Coast for surgery on his shoulder. So I don't think he'll probably be doing too much striping right now, but probably he can at least be in a supervisory role there when he gets back. The fence to the grounds compound has been repaired in house. It was the victim of some malicious damage. Have no idea who. Seems like a golf cart may have been involved from the police report as they were called to look at this. And it has been, there were several options looked at to repair this. And Cherie said in her report that this was done by the crew in-house. I think this is important just because we want to encourage you to use, I think there are still forms on that table by you, Mary, to receive daily suggestions and complaints from residents regarding mowing green spaces and resident homes. These will be signed off by the ground maintenance supervisor and returned to the administrative office. And Joanne has volunteered to oversee the complaints and then be the one who's checking that they're not falling in the cracks, but they are being followed up. We had an accident by a caregiver who was out for a walk, and she fell and ended up with a broken foot and stitches. And we're in touch with the, Cherie is, with the attorney and with Renee, and she'll keep us informed as to what comes of that. Tina, and I don't know how Tina's last name is pronounced. B-O-I-C-H-O-T. She has gone to Michigan with her brother, Kevin, and they will be removing the home at 334 Holiday Park from the park. Kevin and his brother, Alan, will be here the last week of July and will be contacting the office to get ACC forms. They will be selling the lot once cleared and approved through the ACC. We received the check for $10,428 from the clerk of court for Brevard County for excess revenue for the tax certificate auction sale for 220 Berry Court. She will continue submitting applications for all upcoming tax certificate sales to include 172 Holiday Park Boulevard. She continues to research the status of the abandoned homes. That was one of her priorities in her absence, feeling that she could really focus on this without, you know, people coming in to the office for whatever reasons they have to need to see her. Her next doctor's appointment is today. She'll have more information on her return date, hopefully by then. Please don't hesitate to contact her at any time. I wasn't going to read me because I don't want to be contacted. So that's from Cherie, kind of a summary of what she had to say. Any questions on the things I shared with you or the things that you read?
Annette Regas, 409. With something like this, it would be much more helpful for all of us if you could make copies of this and we can look at it, because you were very vague about stuff on this sheet. You all get the copies, but maybe we'd like to look at all of the information ourselves also. You know, you kind of condensed a lot. I think we should be entitled to things like this of what's going on and given to us since we are the residents.
It's on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Okay, here we got that set on a chair, I'm sure.
Computers.
But
it's there.
It's on the computer. I don't have a computer. Spend a lot of time watching the school,
huh? Marty.
Marty Peterson, 1050 Moonlight. On the striping in a parking lot, I go out there and I look at the parking lot, and the parking lot looks terrible. We're going to have nice yellow lines out there, and we get a crappy-looking parking lot. If you go right out at the entrance out front, there's no asphalt left. It's down to the stone in the asphalt. I think the whole parking lot should be resurfaced before you do any painting.
Okay, make a note of that. Any other comments? If not, under old business, I'd like Keith to discuss with us a little bit about the loans.
Basically, a comment and comments from the board. We, as everybody knows, we paid off one of the loans, and in our budget, we still have enough money to take that payment and apply it to the other ones, and that's kind of what we said we're going to do, and that's kind of what I'm going to tell the treasurer to do, unless I have some other comments, but it's been budgeted, we have the money for it, and we get the loans down, and I'm just telling people that's what we're doing now, unless we have some other comment from somebody that would change my mind.
Any comments from board people?
Okay, then I will just tell the treasurer to add that payment to the other ones.
Okay. Under new business, we've had some comments made. And this is going back. One of the articles was posted out here in the glass case regarding Fair Housing Act and criminal background checks. I've had some email from people who were concerned, thinking that this was a violation of privacy. Some research was done. And it seems that we have four different opinions that all kind of end with the nature, if you're going to try to do that in your group, talk to your attorney. They said it opens up lawsuits, discrimination, and the like. And interestingly enough, the first one, at least it's first in my pile of articles, comes from our own Ryan Polyakov, the attorney for Holiday Park. And he says, I strongly recommend every association with criminal record restrictions contact their attorney for further advice. So if we would contact our attorney, that's what we would hear.
I have a question, Jack. Are we looking at these, or are we looking at using them to restrict residency? I mean, there's a difference in looking at somebody's background, mm-hmm. just to have knowledge of who's in the park, and then there's also a point where, oh, you have this kind of background, we're not going to let you in the park. I mean, are they talking about using it or just looking at it?
Well, what do we do?
I mean, no, I'm just saying, well, it just gives you knowledge of your residents. Of, you know, if something happens in the park, you might have some knowledge, or are we talking about using it to restrict people from moving in?
Bruce?
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. I talked with the Shree about this several times, and a couple of weeks ago, I did some research. We have four different attorneys' opinions here. Basically, our own lawyer says, overall, this HUD new guidance dramatically changes the legal analysis of the validity of restrictions based on criminal history. What he's saying is, we're opening ourselves up for a lawsuit. Four attorneys' opinions. You can see the big print here. Before you reject that criminal offender, be aware. And they're stating, her statement starts off general background about how approximately 100 million Americans have criminal records. That's almost one-third of our population. Going back to what Sheree and I talked about, and see, a lot of people are against this. I've said this right along. We have an owner application that's 10 or 11 pages. It should be thrown completely out. Go back to the two-page one that we used to do. No more credit checks, no more criminal checks, none of that stuff. That's my opinion to the board. I hope somebody will make that motion. And let's do a simplified owner application. Kathy and Lori spend hours and hours and hours doing this, and ask them, because I've stood there and watched Lori and Kathy go crazy on this stuff. They get the information in, they have to call the people, they have to email them, they have to get more information, and they keep going back and forth. And so, and they take days and days and days, sometimes weeks on just one application. This is ridiculous. Then on the back page, you have to have two trustees sign off on it. Why do the trustees have to tell me I can move in the park? That ain't right either. So my thing is, we should go back to the old application. Definitely do not do anything about criminal checks. And if you remember, in the last month, Congress passed the First and Second Step Act, trying to do for criminals to give them a second chance in society, on working, and so on and so on. And the housing deal is right in here. HUD's recommendations is, we don't do it anymore.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I went to I called Social Security, and I asked them, can I be forced to give anybody my Social Security? And they said, no, you don't have to, okay? Unless you want to open up a bank account or a charge card, then if you want to give it to them, go ahead. But nobody should ask you for your Social Security number, because anybody can walk in, get a hold of the records, and it's done. I froze my Social Security number. No one can get my Social Security number. They can't go on the phone and they can't open up an account and give my Social Security. They're going to be in trouble. I just found out about this, and she said to me, you know, they used to put your Social Security number on your Medicare card. They don't do that anymore because it's none of nobody's business. That's your business, personal business. That's where I stood with her, and I froze my account. Nobody can get my Social Security number unless I want to give it to them. And then I have to go down in person with ID and say, yes, I want to give them my Social Security number. Other than that, they can't ask me for it. They shouldn't.
Any other comments?
I just had the one comment. Going back to the old form, I do like the new form, which says you cannot rent or sell something, or we're not going to give passes out to anybody till the unit meets our restrictions. In other words, it's got numbers on the thing, the skirting's done, because that's about the only place we can get people to bring their stuff up to kind of our code, is saying, hey, you don't get to come in and drive back and forth if there's something wrong. And the only time we have any power to make them do it is if we got a pass that they want. And that would be, I mean, the credit check and whatever, I mean, that's information and fine. But I do definitely want left the fact that people have, before they can rent it or get a pass to move in, it is up to code.
We had an application for someone purchasing a home, and it was the first time I had been asked to sign off on it. Well, it had been signed off by a trustee and the manager, but I refused for two reasons, one of which I won't tell you. But the other one was very simple fact that the person indicated next of kin or who was, you know, responsible for this person or the home or whatever. And it just had son and a city. Hello? I think we needed a little bit more information. There may have been a phone number, but you've got to be careful. And this is where we run into a lot of problems here when we don't know what's going to happen with the home should that person pass. Is it being left to someone? Is it going to be cared for when they're away? And we just keep going on and on and on with that. But that new form, I don't know what the old form has, but the new form does request that. So that's an important part of it. And the other part, it wasn't going to happen for me.
Any other comments?
Mr. Hamm, you've been in real estate. Do you know of any restrictions about what we can and cannot ask?
Not from a legal standpoint. I do know that you're all...
Put your mic on.
Turn your mic.
Don't put the mic on.
On top.
Okay. No, I mean, it was been mentioned about the attorney. What his advice is what I would certainly aim to do. And then you have to be fair and keep the same consistency with everybody. Otherwise, you're being prejudiced one way or another.
So everybody fills out the
same form? Same form, yes. And Keith mentioned about holding back a pass to come in and out, correct? Is that?
That until the unit is up to...
But the problem I see there is then you have to make sure that everybody's unit is up to snuff.
They get passes every year. It's just when they're sold or rented to a new renter is when we're doing that. When they become empty and they're going to get a new owner or a new renter, that's when we're asking.
Mm-hmm.
When they have to fill out an application to come in.
Got it. Yep. Understood.
What's the pleasure of the board? Looking for a motion.
I think we should take a second look at this form. Yeah. I think we need something between 12 pages and 2 pages. I would be glad to go down and work with Lori and see if we can't get something in between that satisfies everything we want.
I agree with you.
Okay. Would it be safe to say the July meeting is the 22nd?
Sure.
That you could have something together by then?
Sure.
Office ladies?
Yeah, that's fine.
No.
Yeah, but just have something together anyway so we can look at it.
Okay. So we'll tape it. Oh, of course. So we will table this till July 22nd.
If I can't fix a form in a month, I'm going to give up.
Do we have any other new business?
I don't know if it's new business or not, but I've been trying to get something from the Board of Education. I went as high as I could go. She said she was going to give me all the phone numbers. She was going to email me everything. She mailed me everything I already had. So I've put in calls for her. She hasn't returned the calls yet. And also,
let me just explain. Barb is working on emergency preparedness, what happens for our residents if there is a hurricane.
What I can't get from them is where do we go, which is pet friendly, who has oxygen. I can't get an answer out of them. It's like I went as high as I could go, but I got her personal phone number and I called her, but she hasn't answered me yet. Also, with the hurricane season, the removal of our debris. Somebody said Palm Bay doesn't pick up our debris. FEMA doesn't pick our debris because they don't go in gated communities. All right. I'm sorry. Bud Getz contracted the last hurricane with Alpine. It cost us $8,400 to remove the debris. They had FEMA trucks lined up out here going into other deed-restricted places. Why has not someone contacted Palm Bay to see why we're not included? Hello?
Well, we gotta look into that, you know.
Can you have it checked out?
I was making a note so I don't forget.
Okay.
Back somewhere in all my readings of all whatever, I read something about FEMA would be collecting in Holiday Park. But I don't know who made the arrangements or whatever happened with that, or there's an annual agreement you need to deal with, or what the scoop is. But I did read something that there was a relationship with Holiday Park and FEMA. That's something that we probably
should check out.
I don't think it's with FEMA. We're supposed to be piggybacking onto the contract with Palm Bay.
Palm Bay, okay.
And
with
that's
Palm Bay.
Yeah, that's in, I don't know if that becomes another resolution, but it is. But if you go back in your files, you'll see we piggyback on their contract for the cleanup of hurricane debris.
So why did they hire Alpine to do it for
$8,000? I can't hear you, Barbara. I'm sorry.
Why did they pay $8,400 to another company if we had an agreement with Palm Bay? Oh, they didn't make the contract?
Bruce?
Go ahead, Bruce. I just want to take care of the people in the park.
Thanks a lot. Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. In the past, we've always had the board pass in the spring a resolution to piggyback on the back of Palm Bay for the companies they contract with to clean up the city of Palm Bay. For some reason, I think it all fell through the cracks the year Jody was here, and Bud never followed up on it, and nothing was ever done. That's why we paid Alpine $8,400. And I don't think it's ever been done since then. I brought over the paperwork showed it to Sheree a couple of months ago, and I said, are we supposed to file this? And I asked Joanne about resolutions, and nobody has an answer for me. What is the difference between a resolution and a motion passed by the board? I don't know the answer. But I know I have the paperwork from 2 or 3 years in my folder, which I showed to Sheree, on the paperwork that we filed with the city of Palm Bay. I've got Russ Livermore was chairman for 2 or 3 years. He signed it, and I forgot who did it. I guess nobody did it after that.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. I did it.
Right.
No, we did it.
You did it. Right, you did it. Right.
Yeah, I didn't know it hadn't been done the last couple of years. But we can still pick it up, and the manager should be getting in touch with the city.
So it worked in the past. We should just continue it.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, any other words of wisdom?
That was wisdom?
Not yet. Relax. We'll get there. Anybody else have a new business item? Question is, who's going to grab the ball on this? I think the next step would be to be in touch with Sheree and see what's happening. Lori can put that on her agenda for tomorrow. Talk to Sheree about this and see where we go.
Well, actually, the office can make a phone call. The office can make a phone call to Palm Bay and inquire about that. First, find the paperwork so you have something to refer back to.
Now on my agenda, we're ready for item 10, public comment. There's a microphone back right in the center here. No. Okay.
Terry Steimer, 1280 Caber Court. This is new business to me. It may be old business to you all, I don't know, but I'm concerned that it's taking over 2 weeks to get this grass cut. And it's taken so long, by the time it's cut, it's piles of grass that are on my grass and everyone else's almost, that's killing the grass underneath of it, unless I rake it. So do we know why it's taken over 2 weeks to get the grass cut? Is that normal? That's not normal, is it?
No, they were working on a schedule, and I don't know what for sure interrupted that schedule. We did
rain.
We did lose a person, but there's been a manpower replacement. So we're not down bodies, okay? And I feel your pain because I have to go out and rake
Thank
tomorrow.
You. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry, what was your name?
Terry Steimer.
Oh.
And in this, with the rain, it is growing faster. In the summer, we get behind at times. I agree it's bad now. But yeah, in the summer, it gets behind more than it does in the winter.
Thank you, Keith. A week there I know of, probably both weeks, all morning was dry, and I didn't see any grass cut, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, and the Crown Crew has turned in an 8-day schedule of how they mow.
So we're on top of this.
It's an 8-day cycle, and yeah, it should be. But if you get a rain day, then you're at least one day, or it might be a little wet. That can be something. But if you do have any complaints or please, this is what the form. About where?
I'm going to address that in a minute.
Okay. Thank you.
This time of year, you can watch the grass grow.
I'm not standing on my tippy toes. So.
And that, Becky.
Oh. Okay. Go ahead. No.
Go ahead.
Do
we need name and address?
Tickets for the July 4th picnic. We'll be selling them Tuesday morning and Thursday morning. The
not sloppy joes. They're not in hamburger or big chew. They're good.
Next.
Annette Regas, 409 Holiday. Number one, I'd like to know how many is standard on the grounds crew list? How many men, on average, are we supposed to have at full crew? I rode around the park today trying to find a lawnmower. I didn't find one lawnmower working anywhere. I rode around the whole park because somebody had said, see if you can know where they are and ask them when they're going to come, because quite a few neighbors have a lot growing up. I saw a couple weed whacking and one fella edging. But I didn't hear any mowers out today. And also, isn't it more of a priority that the residents' property is mowed before the green spaces? Because the green spaces look real good coming in the park in the main, where you have main thoroughfare. But then I pass by your house, Jack, you could hide an elephant in your grass. So I don't understand where, is it, maybe you all should have somebody appointed as an overseer for the lawn crew, because whoever is the supervisor right now doesn't appear to be doing a very good job of supervising.
Well, I know the crew was out today because my lawn got mowed, and I found two elephants. But anyway, they were out, and usually I would say their schedule started out here in front.
Yeah, we used to have a schedule, and people would be able
I'm
to check.
The schedule called for them to start out front here of the rec center, and they went down Holiday Park.
There it is.
It's fine.
Well, somebody looked for it. There, a couple residents said, ask about it, because they said they looked for it. When was that put up there and all? I don't know. But my question is aren't the residents' properties being mowed and edged and weed whacked more important than the empty green spaces? Excuse me.
That's a good question. I don't know the priority, but I will ask to find out.
I would
out.
Say if I was running the lawn crew, it'd be like the residents are priority. The empty green spaces are not. You can have a little high grass there, but it doesn't help somebody's property if they lose their dog in grass.
And that it's on a rotating schedule, and the green spaces get done right along with the. If you have a green space between your house and the house next door, they go down the road and they do that all. It's a rotating schedule.
So just along over here by the circular driveway in the front of the building here, you can see where the green space was mowed up to the property line of the houses that butt up against it. Couldn't another couple swipes and they could have taken care of their yards? I don't understand how, you know, and then maybe if they stopped looking at their phone all the time.
May I address that?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm right with you. And I approached the grounds crew. And it was my understanding that they were instructed to do residential properties first and to leave the green spaces. I asked again, and they said they decided while they were doing it, they're gonna do the green spaces as well. Personally, I think that was wrong. I'd rather see the residence property get mowed before the green space. That's my own personal opinion. But the supervisor has, I guess, his reasoning, and I don't know what it is. The other thing I want to say is we go through this every single year at this time of the year because, one, it's our rainy season. You could literally, I could sit on my porch and watch those weeds grow. So we do have this problem. But knowing that, to me, you should be prepared for that. And we should be prepared for that every single year. How do you prepare for it? Because when it rains, they can't mow. That puts them behind schedule already. I say either hire more manpower and get those, but you need the equipment too. And then I had asked whether we could ask the crew if they would work overtime, either an extra hour in the morning or even Saturdays. I mean, an extra hour would get maybe another little section done. And I don't know where that went, but it didn't go very far. So that's all I have to say about that.
Gloria?
It's
not on. Turn it on. Push.
Gloria Walls, 403 Holly Park Boulevard. First, I'd like to congratulate Joanne on knowing how to use the mic. You can hear me better. I will refer back to the meeting 2 weeks ago. I would like someone to tell me the procedure for applying to be on the board. What happened that night was, and believe me, but not personal. No, of course, nominations from the board. There are three new people on the board. How would they know not to call this gentleman up to up in his qualifications without talk behind closed doors? Not one person nominated. Those of you who know him, and some of you worked with him, and I understand maybe you weren't happy with him, and that's fine. But what about the new people on the board? What did they know about him that nobody nominated him?
I wasn't here.
And I know there's a group that gets together. I do know that for a fact. And I hate this word, and we're all familiar with it, collusion. So please somebody tell me how you go about getting on the board. I remember in the past that sometimes if there were more than one candidate, they were actually on the ballot on election day. So the residents do have something to say. So I'd like you to tell me what happened here.
Okay. Jack, I'll do it. I don't mind doing it.
Pardon me?
I'll do it. Gloria, in order to get on the board, the same process that we had went through tonight with Michael. You submit a letter to the board, and then there needs to be a motion to put that candidate on the board. 2 weeks ago, there was no motion from anyone on the board. And I understand what you just said, and I understand what you're saying. All I can tell you from my personal thing, I did not speak to anyone on this board beforehand. Now, it is very possible that there are people outside of this board that did speak to the new board members. I don't know that. This board did not discuss it beforehand. I don't know if that helps you.
Well, I think that's a question you have to ask the new members, because I have no idea.
And unfortunately, they're not here, and I understand that there are relatives within the board. There are quite a few relatives.
Excuse me. I'm just telling you, I was in Connecticut. I was not here. I have not talked to anyone. Okay, I do have a sister that's married to a gentleman here. We do not discuss anything coming up from the board. But I can't do anything if I'm in Connecticut. I'm sorry. Please don't blame me.
I think the process has been discussed quite detailed on the Facebook. There were lots of questions. What's the process? Gene Beach said years ago we had gatherings for the candidates to speak, prior to the election. If there is no election, if there are no candidates, and the election comes, that's an empty spot. And then it's filled by applying to the board with a letter stating your qualifications and why you would like to be on the board, and then the board takes that and acts on it.
My husband was on the board, so I should know the procedure, but I thought I'd try to get it from one of you. Thank you.
I'd like to take it one step further, because I understand today Jack received another letter of intent for the board, and right now we have a full board. But know this, with the upcoming 5 seats that could be empty at the end of this calendar year, that person could apply for any one of those seats. You could even not even knowing whether they're going to be filled with the same people or not, just by going to the election board, filling out the forms, and name the number seat you want to apply for. I'm looking, Mr. Steimer, because I happen to know it's you. Is it correct? Yes, sir. So if you want my seat, because I'll be up, and you don't know whether I'm going to run again or not, doesn't matter. You could put your name on the ballot, and now both of us would be on the ballot if I chose to run again. And that's how that would work. Or you could just wait and see what there's an empty seat and then be elected and nominated, just as Mr. Hamm was. Are you following that?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Well, that's beside the point. But I wanted you to understand what. And that was what Gene Beach was referring to. But in 20 years that I've been here, I have never seen two people run for the same seat. 20 years. So it goes way back before Gene, when there were so many people wanting to sit on the board. And thinking of it as a privilege, and it is, because, you know, this is our community. We're hoping to serve everybody here. But just I wanted you to understand how you could go about that if you wanted to choose to do it.
Just to add a little to that, you don't wait to see if it's empty, because the odd numbered seats are empty at the end of the year. The only way they keep it is if they are reelected. So they have to sign up to be elected, and if you sign up, but it's coming up in a month or so, you have to register in the next month, so they can get the ballots prepared in November, even though these people serve till December. It's January, whoever is elected takes over the odd seats. Next year, the even seats get taken over. But you have to file. The only reason we get empty seats in January is because nobody's filed to even run. If you file, and that's me, I filed the last 2 times, but nobody to run against, so I was just on the board. I didn't have to have an election.
The paperwork you could get in the office, and it has to be filed. There's a 1-week period in August where we have to have the paperwork in.
So go to the office if you need any more information.
Any other comments?
Yes, sir.
Sir.
Walt Rodefeld, 1180 Seminole. Walt Rodefeld, 1180 Seminole.
3 inches. Raise your mouth.
They cut the grass today at Seminole. I wanted to tell the lady here. But the biggest trouble here, those guys ride around them damn carts all day long. You'll go up in Seminole, all the way in the back, you'll see 6 guys back here, sitting, having a good time. And it's if they work for you, if you had a business, you'd be broke in a month. And I don't mind paying the guys' wages, but God damn it, they should work.
Could you just repeat your last name for me? Your last name?
Rodefeld.
Rosenfeld.
Rodefeld. Did you get it, ma'am? Okay.
Thank you. Marty?
Marty Peterson, 1050 Moonlight. Somebody made a comment that these new members on the board voted against these people. Make a reminder that there was no nomination made for anybody to vote on, so those members did not vote.
No, we stated that there was no nomination. We stated that.
There was no motion to nominate.
Anything else? No, I think we're looking to see if there's anything from the trustees. Anybody have any item to share?
Trustee comments?
Trustee comments?
Yes.
Joanne does.
Yes. Again. Once again, I'm just going to mention this form, which is on the table. It's been around for several years. It's the same form. We haven't changed it any. But I'm going to ask that it be put out at every meeting so that all of you can take a copy, keep it in your home if you want to, whatever. But it is for you to register a complaint, maybe make a suggestion, you have an idea, or you even want to compliment. You have something you want to say about somebody. I will get copies of it, and I have. I picked up 4 or 5 copies that the office had. And when I picked it up, that very day, someone had written, "Cut the grass!" exclamation point. So that was a new one, and I didn't feel that we had to wait for Cherie to get back. I maybe overstepped, but I did call that person. And it turned out it was a new resident. They've only been here a few months. And I didn't want them to think, well, this is what it usually looks like. So I had to explain about the rainy season, et cetera, et cetera. And I also had to schedule that their section, thank God, was going to be mowed the following day. Were they going to follow it? I didn't know, but I tried to make nicey nice. And the woman, the owner, really appreciated the call and the fact that what she wrote down was recognized. It was answered. And they did mow the next day. I was very grateful. But there are other things where people are commenting about things they see, who's staying too long. There's a dog that's not being, the waste isn't being picked up. And I have a very brief form that I would like to see go out. And with it, if someone is breaking a deed restriction, we could make a copy of it, highlight, and send it to them, a copy that goes in their file, and let's see if they're, you know, if it keeps happening. Same thing with rules, regulations, the policies, whatever. At least that person would be informed. Maybe they don't know, but I kind of think they all do. That's number one. The second thing I want to talk about is the pool. In the summer, we have visitors coming. Please know what the rules and regulations are regarding the pool. If you have young children, they must be accompanied by adults. And it's posted, but it's not very obvious. It used to be. One, we don't allow alcoholic beverages at the pool. Yeah, you can put it in a bottle and hide it with your cup, I guess. But please, a little common sense. Don't do it. It's not permitted. The other thing that is not permitted is eating in the enclosed area of the pool. Once you enter that fenced, white fenced-in area, that's considered the pool deck. You can eat outside, which is the tables right outside the office window. Fine. That's where food can be eaten, but please not inside. So these little things, just be courteous and considerate of the community and your neighbors. And I think we'll be fine about that. I'm done.
Anything else?
sorry, I can't hear you.
Susan Vincent.
Susan Vincent, 1250 Dove Court. I don't know if this is the correct form for it or correct place in the agenda, but there's something that I've been very concerned about, and I know some other residents have. So I'd like to bring it up and ask the board to consider. I know that several months ago that a resolution was passed that each owner could only own one unit. And there are situations that I see personally where it would be good for an owner to own more than one, even if that number is limited. One being the owners that usually would want to own more than one will take care of the properties. We've got vacant properties throughout the complex that are in sad, sad disrepair. And there are some owners that would like to purchase those, rehab them, either sell them or rent them, but they're prevented from doing so because of this rule. And I don't know. What if you're an owner and someone dies and wills you their place? Now, is the board or the office going to prevent you from realizing that will? Because then all of a sudden you become an owner that potentially has two properties. They did not know. I guess it has never come up before, but
it has.
It's not any different. And I personally am in a position. I mean, there's so many ways around it. If I could buy my second property, put it in somebody else's name. I've got a lot of relatives. I could buy a whole neighborhood. But I actually own on Woodport and was renting on Doveport, and the opportunity has come up now for me to purchase Doveport, which I really want to do. But I can't.
Right, and let me explain that. That's because we have a deed restriction. This is a deed-restricted community, and that's something you should know when you move in here.
If it's deed,
deed restriction means that the majority of the people of the park voted to change from unlimited, then it went to four, and now it's one. And the reason was, and it was explained quite nicely by Bud Goetz, was because out-of-state and LLC companies were buying the properties. We had someone from Israel buy a property. Do you think he was coming over to fix it up? I don't think so. One property. You want to buy Dove Court? You said you've got ways of doing it? I suggest you find that way, because no matter how many deed restrictions, rules, regulations, policies we make, someone's always going to find a way to get around it. But at least we've got it. And what I'm really upset about, too, and I was in the office when two real estate agents came in.
I'm good.
But they were new. And I said, do you have a copy of our deed restrictions? No, I read them online. Really? Do you remember them all so that you can relay those to your customers? Because if they don't know this, that this is a deed-restricted community, you shouldn't even be bringing them in here. That's the problem we have. That's why so many of those houses are abandoned. They're not left to anybody. They are owned by a company. The company could care less about them. But that's okay. You want to buy Duff Court? I say to you, go find another way around it. That's the explanation. But the reason you don't own only one, it's a deed restriction. The only way you get to change that, you have to bring it to a vote for the entire community. And that is a huge project.
Any other comments? If not, I wait a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion we adjourn.
Second. Is there a second?
Second.
Adjourn.